This time of year always makes me rethink what's in my closet. I'm trying to keep fewer things, but better ones. Pieces that are well-made and easy to wear all the time. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. The fabrics feel elevated, the fits are thoughtful, and the pricing actually makes sense. Quince makes high-quality, everyday essentials using premium materials like 100% European linen and their insanely soft, flow-knit activewear fabric. Their men's linen pants and shirts are lightweight, breathable, and comfortable. Basically, the perfect layer for spring. The pants strike the right balance between laid back and refined, so you look put together without trying too hard. And their flow knit activewear, moisture wicking, anti-odor, and soft enough you'll actually want to wear it all day. The best part is that their pieces are 50 to 60% less than similar brands. How, you ask? Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. Everything is designed to at least make getting dressed easy. Guys, you heard me talk about in the winter how I loved Quince for when I was going home to the cold weather up north. Well, now the Flowknit activewear is perfect for this Florida spring and the upcoming summer. I'm super happy with it. And like I've always said, the Quince website is super fun to shop. You got to go out and check out Quince. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. Go to Quince. quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/crypto101. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast. We have an awesome episode for you today on the rundown. Something has just changed in the macro economy, and crypto has not yet reacted to it. About at the same time, Bitcoin is flashing a rare bottom signal that we're going to cover today. And smart money continues to quietly pile in at these prices, and JP Morgan leaking that the Clarity Act is on its way to the finish line. We've got all that for you and more, including a Momentum Moneymakers update. Brian's here with us today. We have some great updates from the Momentum Moneymakers community. They've had some winners. I see on the sheet a 3Xer we're going to cover, and many, many more things on our rundown today. Thank you all for joining us. If you're interested in a specific topic, check the timestamps below. If you want to listen to the whole thing, we really appreciate it. Either way, give us a thumbs up. And if you're new, bottom right, hit the logo and subscribe. Brian, welcome, my friend. Happy Thursday.
What an intro. I've been meaning to ask you this for months now.
Yeah.
Do you like practice that or pre-script that intro? Because it's so smooth. It's exactly what we're working down on our sheet. It's unbelievable, man. So whatever TiVo just said, that's what we're breaking down. And it's, do you practice it?
It's like the how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know. I try my best for the people.
One of the first questions I asked ChatGPT when it was released, and it brought up all these like Harvard studies. How many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? I was like, let's see how accurate this AI stuff is.
I love it. I love it. But we got a great show, man. We'll dive into it. Let's just start with a quick macro outlook as we do. I think the most interesting thing is it's been pretty quiet on the Twitter front, on the war front. Things seem to be calmed down for now. As we all know, that can change in the instant, literally a tweet. But one of the most interesting things is that the S&P 500 is back to all-time highs. That didn't take long, folks. How about that? The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Dow, all creeping towards the tippy top of the charts. And the S&P 500 officially closed at an all-time high. I believe it hit an intraday high today on Thursday. Again, I know we're going to dive into the crypto specifics about, you know, the market in a second here, but I really think it's a testament to just how strong these markets are, how much liquidity is out there. And these markets have survived so many things of, if going back from, you know, the great financial crisis to COVID, to the war, to the Ukraine war, the Russia war, the tech stuff. Brian, your vibration's coming through really loud there. That we want to just make sure that, you know, do you understand what these assets are? And I'm not an economist, so I can't dive in and talk about different this, different that. I just want, some of these companies are bigger than countries. Like I believe California just came in, their economy is larger than like the fourth largest country in the world. I believe they just passed Japan. So some of these companies are just they have so much liquidity, and it's just a different era of investing. And I think that I kind of lost my train of thought there, but it's just, it blows my mind how quick these V-shaped recoveries are. And I think we got to give credit to the show, because we pulled out a stat where it was, we weren't necessarily calling the bottom, but we pulled up that stat when it was wartime. It was like, hey, traditionally the market bottoms within 10% of the war's duration. And I think this quote unquote war was a lot different than a lot of historical wars, but you know, basically it still happened, because it was that March bottom a couple weeks ago, and then it kind of, you know, trended along the bottom when you're talking about the S&P, and now we're back to all-time highs. So what does that lead us into the markets? Brian, I want your take. What do you think about S&P 500 all-time highs heading into the weekend here, and what are you looking for crypto-wise? Because, again, these fundamentals are so strong. We're going to cover that again. And Bitcoin's creeping up. Ethereum's creeping up. Solana's creeping up. But we haven't seen that huge candlestick yet that might bring in FOMO.
Yeah, this is kind of what we were expecting for quite some time. We've been saying it, we're not just going to shoot back to all-time highs in the crypto prices, but there's certainly going to be some signs that we're getting out of this range we've been talking about. You nailed it, TiVo, breaking it down. S&P 500 is hitting all-time highs. There's massive liquidity being thrown around there, even with a lot of uncertainty around the macro. I mean, we have, for goodness sakes, we have precious metals or oil, or these commodities trading like meme coins over the past couple of weeks. We have oil to $120, oil's down to $80. We have obviously the volatility with Trump and the administration. We have the war with Iran. We have Fed changes that are bringing some uncertainty. But with that all being said, we're hitting all-time highs with the S&P 500, and we're V-shaped recovering back in. It feels good, man. It feels good than staring at a fear and greed meter at 9. Now we're in the 50s in Bitcoin, and the rest of the market seem to stabilize. And it, I mean, look at that. I mean, that is the V shape of all V shape recoveries and hitting all time highs.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, you know, there's a lot of macro stuff going on that could change things, but there's liquidity out there. So it's very, very encouraging. And it makes me very encouraged for Bitcoin and Ethereum. I think we've been saying over the past few weeks and past couple months, and we always want to give a disclosure that there could be a black swan event, a huge another macro event that we could go lower. But it certainly feels like we kind of bottom ticked that local bottom with a lot of these cryptos, with the fear and greed meter. We talk about it on these rundowns about how we're just waiting to see some strength in the market. So personally, what I'd love to see is us consolidate right around this $74,000 range, which it feels like we've been doing for quite some time. Just let's consolidate. Let's just, you know, have that coil just build up and then close above 76K. And I think when that happens, we're going to probably be talking about an $80,000 Bitcoin. Where it goes from there, there's a lot of variables, but right now, things feel strong, or things feel really, really okay. I think the fear and greed meter right around a 50 or 53, whatever it's at, neutral, is pretty fair where the sentiment feels to be.
I love that. And to kind of build on that point, it feels like, I guess if the bottom fell out here, it's, you know, in the six, it's been in that 60 to 75 range. If the bottom fell out and we went into the 50s and 40s, which a lot of bears are still calling for, I don't see the reason why. I feel like it would be hard, you know, I guess, you know, when that happens, there will be something that people will pull at to maybe give it a reason, or like you said, a black swan. But I feel comfortable here, and I know we've said it. Brendan and I have talked about it as well, as this range that we've been in here, we felt very comfortable kind of DCAing, adding to our bags very slowly, not personal financial advice, just something that we were doing, maybe even getting a little bit more aggressive on the long side, which I was doing in the 60s. But also not, it wasn't, with everything going on, like the war and the environment, it was not, you know, an all-in moment. There was a lot of confusion there, but you kind of had to look through it. And see that, you know, brighter days could be ahead. And I find it interesting that like we've talked about at the top of the show, the S&P 500 just complete V-shape back to the top. And what you haven't seen yet, and I bring this up because I believe that crypto, especially these blue chips, are so tied into traditional finance now that I like talking about it. I know a lot more, you know, especially when you're in the trenches, I don't think it really ties to it as much, but I believe that. So, you know, if I'm on the show, that's kind of where my mind goes. And I find it interesting that we kind of V-shape that back up and so, okay, well, what does that mean? What's going to be leading the way? And you can still pull up, you know, the kind of storyline that we tied with Bitcoin being going down and kind of in lockstep with the IGV. The IGV has been having a little bit of a quote-unquote comeback. So a lot of these software stocks that got thrown away, AI is going to take over. There's going to be a little bit of a re-rating here, I think. And I think, you know, is AI going to take some software companies down? Absolutely. We've all talked about, you know, how AI is infiltrating the workplace. But are there companies that, you know, worth billions of dollars is going to be worth zero tomorrow? Probably not. And so I think there's going to be this kind of re-rating of a lot of these companies that got thrown out and came down, like we've talked about, 20, 30, 40, 50%. And then Bitcoin got caught up in that downdraft too. So I think it's an interesting time for these. I think you got to do your research. It's definitely, you know, they call it a stock picker's market when you want to pick stocks and not necessarily be in these large index funds like the IGV, because you're probably going to get some asymmetrical upside for the winners that actually come out of this thing. And, you know, for the long term, I think Bitcoin's one of those. So I really like what we're doing here. We kind of said we're grinding higher. I like that because, you know, maybe we look back at, you know, 80K and we just kind of slowly grinded to it. And then you get that, you know, 5% candle, and then it's 85, then it's 88. And it's like, you can kind of feel, I think I said it on the last time we did it last week. I said, I feel like the pain trades higher. I said that. I said, I feel like the pain trades higher. And I meant that for Bitcoin and for the S&P 500, which again is higher. And I think there's a lot of people similar to the tariff trade that are on the sidelines. So let's take a look, Brian. I'd like to get your thoughts on this. I saw CoinDesk tweet this out. I like to pull different metrics and stuff when I see this like catchy headline, and I like to get everybody's take on it. So the Bitcoin funding rates have hit their most negative levels since 2023. Historically, deeply negative funding rates have coincided with local bottoms, including March 2020, mid-2021, and the FTX collapse in 2022. Are you buying the Kool-Aid on this, the funding rates?
Are the funding rates pointing us into getting out of a bear market and going into a bull market? Then it's a hard yes.
You want a nice cup of that Kool-Aid?
I think it's a hard, hard yes. Every single time deeply negative funding rates printed, it usually marked a local low and set the stage for a violent short squeeze and really strong bounces. So that's what this is kind of showing. And I feel like that's kind of what the vibe is in the room as well, from just a fundamental analysis as well. It feels like sentiment is washed, leverage is one-sided, and the spot market's quietly absorbing this supply. And then when the squeeze flips, shorts are going to get liquidated, funding's going to flip positive, and then the FOMO crowd's going to pile right back in because they were leaving over the past few months. So I think there's a real opportunity here where we start to see some major FOMO into the price of Bitcoin and some of these big-time alts.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Great analysis. Couldn't agree more. And I love, because as the producer of the show, right, I'm trying to grab these. I'm trying to weave in these storylines, and something that I know you were here with us a couple weeks ago. This was probably 3 weeks ago now. We were kind of pulling up the betting market odds of where Bitcoin's price was going to go. And we said we always put it in our repertoire of kind of the data, of kind of parsing through the data and seeing what people are thinking. And it was, you know, 60% odds that Bitcoin was going to go below 50K. It was, you know, 50% odds that I was going to hit 45K. And we kind of were looking at these. And that's when I started to scratch my head. And I said, everybody seems to be on the same side of the boat as that. I was thinking of that price target, like there's that big support level in the 40s. And I was like, man, everybody, the majority thinks we're heading, you know, below 50. And, you know, it's almost a coin flip that we're going to go to 40. And we're sitting here at 60 to 68. I was like, that feels a little one side of the boat. The boat felt like it was a rocking a little bit, right? You know, and now look at everybody. Everybody's evening out. They're starting to sparse through the cabin. Maybe it's happy hour at the bar on this yacht, and everybody's starting to go to the bar. People are sparsing because now, you know, this was 60% last week. Now there's only a 38% chance that Bitcoin dumps to 60. That was 60 a couple weeks ago, and it was even 50% that it was going to go to 50. And the odds of BTC pumping to 80,000 are rising. So kind of exactly as we diagnosed a couple weeks ago, is just saying, hey, this prediction seems a little crowded. It feels like everybody thinks that this is going to happen, and the shoe's going to fall on Bitcoin. And again, it works both ways. It's very similar to kind of the FOMO phase when we were kind of hitting in the 120s for a while, right? And we just kind of, you know, at least on crypto Twitter, it was all just like, the blow off top is coming. This is the cycle. We've seen it before. This is the blow off top's coming. And then everybody kind of got caught off sides on that one, right? So, you know, it works both ways. But are anything to take away from these odds flipping?
I think the biggest takeaway is credit to us. I feel like we've been playing this pretty well from our own gut in the fundamentals in our analysis, and anything could happen. I think the biggest thing about these, just the straight up the odds here with something that's data oriented, is 100% chance that nobody knows anything. You know, the price could move up and down for a variety of different reasons. But like you just mapped out, we've mapped out in past rundowns, is, and we're going to talk about it more here, is that smart money and institutions have not been fazed by this downtick in Bitcoin. And it certainly felt like it was one-sided. I mean, when people start talking about what color Lambo they're going to buy with their Bitcoin holdings at 120, yes, I get wrapped up with that as well, because it's just nothing goes up in a straight line. And we've seen this time and time again where there's corrections. But institutions didn't waver. You know, some short-term retail certainly sold. I have some friends that were kind of, this is their first cycle go-around, and they sold. And kind of now they're coming back out of it a little bit, just from the vibes of my close inner circle of people that aren't in crypto as close as us. They're asking me, is Bitcoin going back to all-time highs? So the sentiment's certainly changing. Looks like the price action is supporting it. Again, there's a lot going on with geopolitical-wise and everything with the administration, the Clarity Act. But it does feel like there's less FUD out there, and there's a path here for us to get back into out of this range and up and into the 80s. And then who knows where we go from there. This is a very similar feeling to other lows and other bear markets and how we've gotten out of them. That's why I think we've been pretty encouraged, and we've been trying to tell the community, like, don't fret too much. We understand volatility. Nobody loves it in the present moment, but that can give a really nice opportunity. And it looks like it's really presenting itself, because it looks like the majority now is on that we're going to see higher prices.
Yeah. And it was a good exercise, and I hope it comes to fruition with Bitcoin specifically. Like, I really want to see that six-figure number once again this year. I really do. And I think that can happen. because it was a great exercise in testing your thesis, and you still believe. And I think we've done a great job kind of saying, hey, what was the storyline? What could be happening from a macro perspective, a black swan perspective, the quantum perspective? What are these storylines? And this was a great kind of, again, the market is always going to throw you a curveball no matter what market you're in, and you're going to test your thesis. And I think I really am proud of myself of my crypto thesis. I felt strong. I felt consolidated on my conviction. And then in the regular markets too, like I definitely took some buys. Like I was looking at, you know, since we hit the S&P today, I was looking at what I bought the dip on, and I was really proud of it. It was like, you know, some Netflix and some of those companies that, like, hey, I don't think these companies are going away. They have more momentum ahead of them, and I think that's true for Bitcoin as well. And we're not alone on that, Brian. We're not alone at all, because as much as we were talking about this on the show, if you're an avid listener, we were saying, hey, there's a lot of these old wallets. There's a lot of these whales that are offloading a little bit. Well, now the opposite is happening. The whales are loading up. You brought this to our attention today, so why don't you take it and break it down?
Yeah, well, when we saw Bitcoin at all-time highs, 110, 115, 120,000, we kept talking about how there's a lot of sell pressure from whales, and they usually follow that four-year Bitcoin cycle pretty closely, and I was pretty adamant. I didn't think this was going to be like a standard four-year cycle. And I stand corrected, because it feels like this is playing out like past four-year cycles, and those whales are probably whales for a reason. And they sold the top, and now it feels like they're buying the bottom, because they bought 270,000 Bitcoin in the last 30 days. And that's the most these whales, these really large wallets, have accumulated since 2013. So not only do we have institutions buying, we got countries talking about it. We got regulations coming about. And we have these major Bitcoin OG whales gobbling up Bitcoin again. It's just to go to show you that I think that we're going to probably be moving to the next leg up. Again, not financial advice, because anything could happen, but it makes me very excited for the upcoming market.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those stats that you kind of need to marinate in. I don't think this is necessarily a burger where you buy it at the store, you patty it up, you throw it on the grill. This is more of a little, this is a pork loin. This might be some barbecue. This might be some ribs, something you got to put on the grill, and you're letting
slow it, cook it.
You're letting it cook. You're letting that cook all night. You might do it the night before. If the barbecue's on Sunday, you're actually stoking the fire Saturday night, if you will. Let's read that again. Whales are buying Bitcoin over the last 30 days. The biggest accumulation since 2013. That sounds tasty.
Sounds real tasty. What was Bitcoin trading at in 2013? I don't even know anymore.
Man.
I'm going to look it up.
Couple. Like, we could all afford a couple of them back then.
Couple grand I'm going to get. 2013, it started at $13, and it capped off the year at $800,
man. You could buy a house back in 1945 for that one Bitcoin. That would have been great. Imagine if we could buy some houses for $800. That would have been lovely. That stat kind of blows my mind. That's kind of one of the ones, again, I joke about the marinating, but that's pretty awesome. That's good to see. That's very bullish. It'll be interesting to see how that this is one-on-one from a producer's note. Putting a pin in it, it'll be great to revisit this in like a month, 3 months, 6 months, and see where kind of from this point when these buys were going on, where price action goes, because that is quite the stat. Another thing, JP Morgan getting ahead of the game for Clarity Act. Friend of the show, Damien Dimon. JP Morgan analysts are saying that the Clarity Act is nearing a breakthrough. Lawmakers are reserving key disputes. And this sounds like something that could push the Clarity Act to the finish line. A lot of people that I see in the space, both crypto specific and kind of that macro, the normal people on the Fox Business News channels and the CNBCs of the world, are saying that they think the Clarity Act could be the green light for Bitcoin to maybe go off to the races, or crypto to come back, and those crypto plays, crypto stocks, and Bitcoin. I don't disagree, just because it's a big headline. But I thought it was really interesting that JP Morgan people are kind of leaking this. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting as well. We've heard a lot about this Clarity Act, and the odds have obviously yo-yoed quite a bit. But the bottom line, it does feel like there starts to be some bullish momentum for this Clarity Act over the next 2 to 4 weeks. I know there's a pretty big date there with, you know, the calendar, with the midterms. We've talked about this. So it does feel like there's becoming a little bit more urgency from the banks to get this done. And I don't want to misspeak here, but I believe I saw that Brian Armstrong is kind of okay with the most recent revision of it. And that's with all this stablecoin yield. And I don't want to speak out of turn too much because I haven't read that very recently, but I'm pretty sure that it sounds like both sides are leaking some positive news towards the Clarity Act. And now the timeline's getting crunched. So this is either going to happen or not over the next few weeks. And with JP Morgan leaking this, especially with they've had some negative comments, you know, just only a month ago. Now it looks like they're leaking some positive comments saying that it's nearly complete. I think this is going to get done. I really do. I think this is going to get done. I think this is going to get done before midterms. And I think you hit it spot on. We are going to see a ton of unlocked liquidity when this Clarity Act happens. And I think it's a huge catalyst for 2026.
Yeah, pulled up. This is what, you know, just I could find real quick. It was 5 days ago. He's saying Brian Armstrong thanking Scott Bessent for, you know, working on the Clarity Act. He's grateful for the bipartisan work among the senators over the several months to make this a strong bill. Again, we await for the final verdict of what this is going to look like, because again, the original one that came out, you know, Brian Armstrong raised his hand, said he didn't like it. The stablecoin rewards didn't seem friendly to the OG crypto users, which is what we wanted. So it'll be interesting to see what the final bill says now that he's kind of on the sideline of saying, hey, let's get this thing passed. It looks good. It'll be very interesting to see what it looks like, if it is favorable to, you know, kind of distributing some of these rewards, or if it's not. And maybe reveals that Brian Armstrong got a phone call late night one time and said, hey, quiet down there.
Quiet down, or you're not going to be a bank like you want to be a bank.
Right. Again, you know, these people, everybody's a stakeholder, right? Brian Armstrong, CEO of Coinbase. He wants what's, you know, good for Coinbase, and Vlad wants what's good for Robinhood. You know, but at the end of the day, we are Crypto 101 and we want what's best for the space. So it'll be great to keep tabs on that, keep the journalistic integrity like we try. And when this thing gets released, it's probably going to be a full episode of just focusing on that and breaking it down, honestly. So excited for that. But we continue on with more fundamental news. Hyperliquid, again, we've mentioned on the show for this ETF that's coming out. 21 Shares has one. Bitwise has one. Just a little amendment here that I saw showing that it plans to stake 30 to 70% of the HYPE it holds. So it'll be interesting to see once this actually goes out, if they're going to be staking some of their HYPE and delivering, you know, will they be delivering those rewards to the holders of the ETF? All stuff that continues to kind of to build on my point I said 5 minutes ago was like, man, this whole industry of crypto is starting to really mesh with traditional finance, which I think, you know, there's parts of it that are super exciting. There's parts of it, you know, like we said with the Clarity Act, you know, getting passed. It's like you want it to be fair to the industry. But as a show, I think it's exciting because I think it gives us a lot more opportunities to report on stuff. And again, just see the growth and unlock the liquidity. But kind of just some quick hitters. We've kind of always been talked about HYPE the last couple weeks. And a long time inside the community, but just absolutely crushing the game, Hyperliquid. And then I've been saying this, but I haven't saw it specifically headline. I've said this before, but I wanted to get the actual stats. Was Hyperliquid generated over $900 million in profits with just 11 employees, making it one of the most profitable startups per employee globally. So congrats to that team. That's amazing.
As the huge HYPE and Hyperliquid bull right here on the rundown, I love to see this. It's a great app. They do a good job, and I'm starting to see it more. I mean, I've been in HYPE for a very long time now. We've talked about it in our community, in all the communities under our umbrella, because we all saw the value with the buybacks, with the revenue buybacks, with the tokenomics, with the massive amounts of profits that they are making, and pretty smooth experience. I mean, they're the number one decentralized perps platform, and they're absolutely killing it. Their chain's killing it. And then I would watch CNBC or CNN or just overall major news outlets or Financial Times, Bloomberg, and they were citing and calling out Hyperliquid, especially during those oil trades. So people are choosing to go over to Hyperliquid to trade things other than crypto. It's amazing. It's an amazing product. They're absolutely printing. And I love this. This isn't surprising to me that they're going to be staking 30% of their hype. I stake almost all my hype. And I know they're super profitable. You do too. And we knew that they only have a few employees. I mean, this is amazing. Only in crypto can this really happen. It feels like that you have 11 employees and you make almost $1 billion and you have a great platform. So I hope they continue to absolutely crush it. And I think they have a real path here to be one of the biggest winners in crypto.
Yeah. No, it's the profitability speaks for itself. And again, the notoriety that it's gained in a short amount of time. But to be frank, it's something that we've covered in the community, both Momentum Moneymakers, Crypt Nation. Our team was completely ahead of it. I remember us doing the Hyperliquid newsletter, you know, months ago, maybe even close to a year ago at this point now. So super exciting for that. And I got one more quick hitter, and then we're going to go into the Momentum Moneymaker segment. So if that's something you guys are interested in, if you ever want more access to the community, early access to Brian's alerts, you know, early access to the newsletters to get this type of deep diving into the crypto and finance space, check the links below. I got a dollar trial for Brian's community, which we're going to talk about next. And then there's a trial for Crypt Nation to get the weekly newsletter from that team as well. So check them out below. We'd love to have you. And if not, just give the video a like, subscribe, because we do tons of awesome free content here. One more addendum just to the Goldman Sachs story. Goldman Sachs loves Bitcoin. That was the kind of the theme of last week's rundowns, but they're jumping back in. They want to do a premium income ETF. Everybody, everybody likes to make fun of Saylor and his alchemy of Bitcoin and delivering income, but everybody's kind of hopping on the train. So it'll be interesting to get the details of that when it comes out. But let's no further ado. Let's do a little Momentum Moneymakers update. We haven't done one in a couple weeks, maybe approaching 2 weeks now. So I hand it off to you, Brian. Tee it up. You guys continue in this market, whether it's that sideways market, the down market through the war, and now we're kind of maybe lifting out of it. You guys find the winners.
Yeah, I mean, no one's batting 100%, but no one's batting 1,000. But there's always opportunities in this market, and that's something Joe and I preach all the time. And one of our most recent calls, I think it was April the 9th. It was about 2 weeks ago. It's April the 9th. We called a token called Bull. Right around, I think it was a $2 million market cap or so, if I remember off the top of my head, because I did the recap on it. And this is a pure meme coin. There's no utility behind this. There's no founder. It's a good ticker, Bull. And it basically goes off of the vibes of a bull market. And that was the guts of this, but there's a lot of other factors that we always like to track, that the amount of holders were growing hundreds per pretty much hours whenever I was first looking at this. So a lot of holders, there's a lot of KOLs on the timeline, but you have to be careful when there's too many people on Twitter talking about it, because you have to wonder like how big of a vested interest, but you can kind of time a trade right. And it popped off for our community, which is great. They got it. If you got it around $2 million market cap, I think it went all the way. It flashed to about 10 to 12. So that's if you bought the bottom and sold the top. But even if you didn't and you sold today, you're sitting at a clean 4X. So there's still a lot of opportunities in the space. We've called a few other ones that have been not as big of winners, but have been winners for everybody. We love our community. We love to, you know, find those very interesting opportunities, if it's a bull market, if it's a bear market. But there's a lot less on-chain activity, or at least there was a few weeks ago. So to catch a few winners is always great. But as we start to get into a bull market, there's going to be more and more speculation getting brought up. And everyone, like, you could argue that certain markets die, but they evolve over time. And there's always going to be a group of speculators in this space that, you know, want to catch big wins and want to speculate on certain tokens. And that happened just recently. Flip to the next one, that Unk. And if anybody's familiar, unk is like a basically a term for somebody that's, you know, of I'm an unk in the crypto market for sure. I don't even know how I'm such an unk. I can't even describe it. You describe it for me, TiVo.
Yeah, I mean, we're both unks. Just, you know, it's that in between of like you're not an old man grandpa. Maybe you're not quite a dad, but you're around the culture still and you're older. You're an unk. It's like uncle.
Yeah, you're an unk. You're an unk. And there's been some other unk meme coins out there, but this one has absolutely surged. It was launched about 4 days ago on Pump.Fun. Got all the way to a $20 million market cap, which feels like a $1 billion market cap in this market. And it's been super interesting. And this one's a little bit different. This is almost like tailored for us. This is like a pushback on like the Fortnite community or the younger generation that unks know best. So it's almost supporting unks. Regardless, we're starting to see more speculation on the timeline. We're starting to see more speculation in certain tokens. So there's always opportunities out there. So we nailed it with Bull. I wanted to, of course, call out this UNK token because it's one of the biggest runners we've seen in months, probably since Punch the Monkey. We haven't seen one like this since Punch. And I don't know. I mean, I don't have any exposure to it. I wish I did. I mean, it was built for a guy like me, an UNK that works in the crypto space. So I'll probably look for a little entry, but, you know, it looks like it's going up and up and up right at the moment.
Yeah. So again, these are, you know, you got to be careful with these, the momentum money makers. They're definitely for the traders in us and the traders in the space. But this is the stuff that, you know, we cover on the show periodically. But if you want the full dosage and those early alerts, check the Makers community. Fun, super fun community, super active. There's always stuff going on there. And yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on UNK. What's the market cap up to?
I think it probably pulled back 20, a little bit. I'd 22. Say it's like
22.
It did hit 22. I mean, this is happening in real time for everyone. It's probably the biggest. It's at 18 million right now. So
yeah, pulling it up here.
Gosh, man, it's still just
man, what
it's
a
just going up in a straight line.
God, brand new too. It's only 5 days old.
I know. And I saw this get launched early in my first initial reaction, which I need to get a little better. It was like, oh, we've seen a ton of UNK tokens. Like, why is this one going to take off? Then I started to see more momentum and more momentum. And then I started to like it more and more. And who knows where this could go. It's just great to see that there's some on-chain runners. There's some action back in the trenches. And if we continue to go up in the macro with Bitcoin and Ethereum, there's going to be other opportunities in other sectors. If that's meme coins, if that's NFTs, if that's the AI sector. I mean, heck, we didn't even talk about Allbirds. This has nothing to do with crypto, but Allbirds, the shoe company, did you see that? They're like, crazy. Yeah, we're done with shoes. We're just done. We're buying GPUs and we're now an AI company and their stock went up 800%. So that feels like a top signal in AI, but I'm not fading really. AI sector.
Really
feels toppy. We saw that with like crypto treasuries.
I think it also goes back to the market cap discussion of why the education process of what we try to do when we're talking about these different trades. It's like you really got to hone in on, you know, when was this launched and what's the market cap and understanding your risk in that. Because again, Allbirds today is trade. It got up to 20. It's down to it got up to 20. It's down to 12 today. It's almost, you know, close to a, you know, 50% haircut. But the market cap's only 107 million right now. So again, from when it was folding its shoe shop, it was, you know, whatever, $20 million. I mean, shit, we dabble in some meme. Like, UNK's got the same. All right, here it is. This is perfect. UNK has basically had the same market cap as Allbirds. UNK, not a company, just an absolute meme coin, which we just discussed, you know, 3 days ago, had the same market cap as Allbirds, an actual shoe company that sold shoes. And so they're saying like, hey, we're getting rid. They sold their IP, I saw. They're saying, I don't understand. I didn't look into it enough. But yeah, I don't understand at all how people are buying or why people are buying into it? Like what IP and what, you know, do they have energy? Do they have like, what do they have, a factory? Like, I don't understand what they're transitioning into, but I don't know. Maybe we'll have an update.
They're buying, they're using GPUs as a service provider. So they're going to be buying all these GPUs and like utilize them for the AI sector.
Okay, or just do your research, find a good Bitcoin miner that actually has a plan to do that. Maybe a better bet than the Allbirds team trying to cash out their final stock and use people as exit liquidity. That's what it seems like to me.
When I saw that pop up, it gave me a chuckle, and then I was like, "Oh man, is this the first sign of the AI bubble?" But I don't believe that.
I don't think it's as serious. I think it's just, it's people, it's exact reason. It's the exact reason what you were saying is it's been good to see some on-chain metrics. It's been good to see some high flyers and some runners, because that's what it is. There is a gamification to trading, and there's people out there, whether you're Unk, you know, in your house wanting to trade meme coins, or you're some finance bro on Wall Street that wants to try to ride the $20 million market cap Allbirds to $200 million market cap, right? It's the same thing. I don't think that it's why, and I loved the saga with Portnoy and greed, because he called it what it is. He's like, do you want greed? Because I'll give you greed. I'll give you greed too. Like, it's musical chairs. It is what it is. Like, I'll, you know, and he greed three. And so I think the gamification of this last cycle, and everything, every cycle is different, right? And I really, from my perspective of what happened back in, I guess it was the winter of 25, was it really was a game. It was pump fun. It was a game. It was it was this mixture of what you guys have been so good at, of like garnering attention, and how can you find that attention on the timeline and transition it into a meme coin? And I really think that that's the new era of where this evolved from like, it kind of went from, you know, the Doge era and the Pepe era of, oh, this is funny, like, look at this funny picture or something, and it rockets, to there was a little bit more of a gamification of it this cycle, which is why I think it's going to come back. It'll come back at some point, and it'll evolve in its own way and change, but that's why I think you're seeing a little bit of it on the timeline, because it's the same thing as Allbirds. It's not that different. I just saw you slacked me something. You want me to pull that up?
You don't have to. It just made me chuckle, because this is a guy that's in the crypto space, and he made an AI watch list for equities ever since the Allbirds. I did zero research on anything that Easy has posted here, zero. But I'm not going to lie, I bookmarked it because I might dive a little bit deeper into some of these AI equities and kind of see what it is. This is by no means any research done at all. But you can just see that there's a demand here in all walks, you know, like you so eloquently said, you know, there's the people, the trenchers trading the Unks, trading the bulls, and then there's Wall Street that's going to trade anybody that throws AI in the description of their product right now, or AI infrastructure. But it just goes to show you that speculation in these markets is never going to go anywhere. We're starting to see more and more liquidity pick up. We're going to start to have people feel a little bit more euphoric about where we're going in the price of a lot of different areas, the S&P 500 and crypto. And we're going to start seeing some more opportunities to make a quick buck here and there. So it's kind of revving me up, Tivo. That's what I'm saying. It's revving me up, because there were some dark days there over the past few months where it's just like, man, the only thing I'm reading about is how crypto's going to zero and how quantum computing is like going to take over. And now, right when the price starts to stabilize and move back up, now we're researching meme coins and TikTok memes and anything that has AI in the description as an equity. So there's always opportunity.
History doesn't repeat, but it usually rhymes. And it just, all this stuff, you know, the Allbirds, I'm AI now. It's just, it's reminiscent of the tech bubble of 99. It's like, hey, one of the famous stories that any, you know, Wall Street veteran that knows what they're doing will reference is pets.com. It was just like, they just added a .com, pets.com. It's a .com era company. It's pets.com. What do they do? It doesn't matter. It's pets.com. Everybody loves pets, pets.com. And they IPO'd, you know, it was a high profile IPO. It was You know, they had this sock puppet mascot that they made commercials. They hyped it up. It was, you know, they had TV commercials, which, you know, back then in 99, the TV was the internet of the day. You have all this high profile IPO. And then 260 days later, they had, you know, it was a liquidation. It went from IPO to liquidation in 268 days. It was, you know, a very high profiled IPO. I think if you do a quick Google, I think they, you know, they had all these different investments and they were all in bed with each other and doing this, you know, dot-com era stuff. And so you're going to have that in this AI sector. But that doesn't mean that the dot-com era was BS, right? Because now look at Amazon. You know, that's one of the, you know, that went through the dot-com era as a book company, right? Now look at it. It's, you know, people say, oh, it's what it delivers to your door. That's the least profitable side of their business. Go look at their cloud infrastructure, right? And robotics and things that they're investing in. It's fascinating. So it's a kind of why I kind of pitch is like this world isn't as different. And it's interesting that it's, you know, molding so well with the traditional finance too. So something that we'll keep a tab on and keep doing. And you know, like you said, there's always some dark days and there's going to be light ahead at some point. I think we come out of it. My same thesis for Bitcoin of thinking it's going to go higher, you come out of it. I think it's for the, you know, the meme coin sector as well. Once people start getting some tendies, they're going to want some sauce to dip in and they're going to come right back to the trenches, but we'll be ready. And the momentum moneymakers and crypto 101, everybody's been listening to the show nonstop. You're going to be ready to take advantage of it because, you know, we see it. It's, you know, the sentiment's down, the numbers are down, our downloads are down, but there's a great core of everybody that sticks around and we really appreciate it. So we'll wrap up.
I just want to jump on that. If you're watching this right now, again, like you're so many steps ahead of the normal person or a lot of people that want to get in on this train in so many different ways. So hats off to everybody that's still tuning in. If it's, you know, the depths of the bear market, because this is when we build the positions. This is when we establish ourselves. So we're just absolutely eating come the bull time. And it feels like that's getting closer and closer by every minute. So hats off to everybody in the community that's still here, that's with us, that's talking about crypto, that's interested in crypto, that's interested in blockchain. Because crypto is not dead. Bitcoin is not dead. There's just zero chance of that happening. And we're all going to be eating when the bull market kicks back up. Just wanted to double down on a thanks, because I think there's some just real champions out there that follow us and love to be part of the community with them.
Yeah, and it's been really fun too, of just getting to know some of the specific commenters and the same people commenting and having fun and some new people as well, which is always super exciting. But I do remember kind of those high flying, you know, all time high days and the Fridays we were promoting the show and we'd have, you know, hundreds of people and the chat's going crazy. I miss that, man. I want that every show. I'd be lying if I said I didn't, but that's not how the world works, but we'll be back there soon enough, and we're going to remember the days like this when we do, certainly. What in the day on some fun news, dude? Steak and Shake. I still have. Have you been to Steak and Shake yet?
I was like probably like 10 years ago.
I got to go. I've been saying this since the, you know, they've been doing all the Bitcoin stuff. They got the Bitcoin burger out. They've been paying their staff and a Bitcoin bonus. Now they got the Bitcoin Shake. They love it. They absolutely love it. That thing looks tasty.
That looks so good, man. Those 1,400 calories and 80 grams of sugar look so good. Hats off to Steak and Shake, because they were launching this stuff in the bear market. Is this going to be like, was it Steve Aoki? No, it wasn't Steve Aoki. Whoever Steve Aoki is the musician. I was going to say the guy who, the famous artist, his name's slipping my mind, that painted the mural at Facebook and got shares. That's essentially what, and then he became like a multi-millionaire. That's essentially what Steak and Shake's doing for their employees. You're going to be like, how'd you make your millions? They're going to be like, I was flipping burgers in 2026 at Steak and Shake, and I was taking 50% of my paycheck in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
They're ahead of the game here, so you love to see it. I just looked up to see if there was any close to me. There's one like an hour and 20 minutes, but it might deserve a trip. I might just have to support them, but I'm not paying Bitcoin.
I think I have one close to me.
Yeah, then you're really on the hook for, you know, turning your back on the Bitcoin community for a guy with a Bitcoin Mona Lisa and you don't support Steak and Shake?
No, you're so right. I gotta go to Steak and Shake, dude.
They're good. I remember it being good, but I don't, yeah, this is 10, 12 years ago, so I feel like it was good.
Yeah, I gotta make a trip to Steak and Shake. But they do keep saying, like, they see the Bitcoin, or the people buying the Bitcoin burger and talking about online like us, but people have been coming to the stores. They say that they see an uptick, you know, in traffic specific towards their, you know, Bitcoin branded products. I think they're actually, Steak and Shake's actually going to the Bitcoin conference in Vegas this year. And I think they might've said they have another announcement or they're doing something special there. So super cool to see that type of integration in the community. Another fun one that I saw on the timeline from Pudgy Penguin. Looks like they're coming up with real claw machines, Pudgy claws, in the thousands of retail locations by the end of the year.
I mean, I'll jam some dollars into that thing. I mean, we talk about it every rundown. There's not a Web3 company that's producing more content and more in real tangible items than Pudgy Penguins. So it's super hard to fade them. Regardless, I know the price is up a little bit, but it's so hard to fade Pengu when you just see them continuing to invest in their IP and their brand. So this is amazing. I mean, and that's Luca. I mean, that's CEO saying it, that it's going to be in, he didn't say hundreds or in retail locations. He's specifically calling out thousands of retail locations. So let's do it, Luca. Can't wait. Maybe get your boys a little gamer card. We'll stream ourselves trying to win the big plushie.
Facts. I want to say that if I'm going to be super disappointed when I go to Wildwood, New Jersey, and I'm walking the boardwalk this summer at the claw games, if I don't see a Pudgy Penguin one on the Wildwood boardwalk, I'm going to be very devastated, because that's exactly where one of these machines needs to be. And super, super excited for the annual Wildwood trip. You ever been to Wildwood?
Yeah, man. I mean, I spent a long time in Philadelphia, and I know my Jersey Shore pretty well.
Oh, man, I can smell Wildwood. If I close and think about it, you can just smell it. You can hear the seagulls. You get like a crappy 4 out of 10 slice of pizza and just have a day.
Extremely underrated, I think, the Jersey Shore. You know, they get a lot of like bundled into the TV show, like the Seaside Heights. But, you know, South Jersey, Seattle, and Wildwood, it's some of my best memories. It's an absolute blast.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that statement overall. To wrap up the show, we gotta review our Masters picks from last week. Didn't have any winners. We didn't take Rory to win. We filmed Friday, so he was in the lead.
I thought you picked Rory. I thought you did. We wanted to pick him. Maybe I Scotty.
I took Brooks, Scottie Scheffler, and Xander. You had Justin Rose, Patrick Reed, and Jason Day.
We Reed and Day just decided to, you know, take the jet home early on Sunday, it felt like. But Rose was in the thick of it. And Scottie, dude, what a stud that guy is, man. He came back from a not as good second round, or first or second round. He shot over par, and then he was catching Rory on the back there. That was exciting. Roars is master champion. I think that's the first ever back-to-back winner. That's why I was kind of staying away from it. And he led all 4 days. I mean, did you get all the controversy or I don't even want to say controversy, but how he practiced the first, like the 2 weeks before the Masters, he just opted out of all the PGA events. He just took the PJ.
Yeah.
He just took the PJ there for a day, played Augusta, went home, had dinner with his wife and Poppy, went back the next day. I mean, I was like, what a guy.
That's a life, man. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't. Yeah, I mean, unfair advantage. Yeah, for sure. It's an unfair advantage in life when somebody's got $1 billion. Like, that's just how it is.
He's a Masters winner, so he's allowed to go there, you know? Not everyone can just openly, like, get in the door. So there's perks of winning the Masters.
That's fair. That's a fair point. Get your game up. Any Polymarket, any odds this week? Anything going on? The trending stuff's all pretty just in the news type stuff. I don't see
any. Yeah, well, we were talking, you and I, we were talking about the Ovechkin retirement and it got shut down on your end. You
got
sent me
shut
the text
down.
Message.
Yeah, I was keeping tabs on it. I wonder how they're gonna. They don't want any action on that. I was thinking about if it was low enough, just taking it because it seemed to be hinting. But it was pretty much 50-50. There was no true alpha there.
Yeah, it's kind of it feels a little bit of the dog days, a little bit of Pauly market. We got like NBA playoffs going. I mean, the number one trending is like crude oil prices.
Yeah,
right now, and I wonder what are the odds for Bitcoin to hit six? Just because this stuck out to me, you said, I hope Bitcoin gets to six figures this year. I'm just curious what the odds are of that happening.
Let's
38%. 38%.
What price will Bitcoin hit in 26? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah, 38%.
That's stronger than I was expecting. There's belief.
It's like, you know, it's like, what, a little call option at 1.7? You just, for the rest of the year?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'd love to see it, man. It's I think there's a legit path to get there. And that's why we're seeing it kind of baked in.
80% for 80,000. Interesting. The 50-50 is now 90. Yeah. It's 50% for 50, 55% for 90. So it feels like we're in a new holding pattern in that, like, yeah, the 65 to 75 range feels like where we're at now. And then I don't know. Yeah, it feels like the Clarity Act could release that next leg.
Yeah. I think we get positive news with the Clarity Act. It's going to release a lot of liquidity and a lot of bullish headlines. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely some really crazy black swan events I can think up that I'm not even going to say out loud that would make markets not do so well. But it feels like it would have to be one of those really gnarly events because we've already seen, we're living through tariff increases, we're living through war, declaring war on Iran, fears with Russia and China, not war in Iran. It just feels like the market's kind of not as reactive. And then when we start getting really positive news, I
can't think I've said this on the show once. I have like a thesis on just the general markets of, like, you know, they're super volatile, but these V-shaped recoveries are happening quicker and quicker. And it goes back to the fact of that's our life now. Like, we as human beings are so plugged in and so, you know, with the news and all everything, you know, you got your cell phones and you can watch TV anytime, and just it's the speed of life is so much faster than it was, you know, back in the day. And so markets are faster than it was back in the day because it has to keep up with information. And so, you know, this turmoil and war and this and that, it's like back then, you know, when you only had 3, 6, and 10 and you had one nightly news report a night, you had to wait at least 24 hours to get the next update. You had no idea. Like, people forget this. I love this story with my dad. Like, he was telling me about the 1980 Olympics and when, you know, Miracle on Ice happened, and he was, because we're a big hockey family, and I was like, man, that must have been amazing, like, must watch. And he was like, well, it got like, eventually it caught up to like the hype of what was going on, but it wasn't, you didn't have news, like news didn't really travel. Like, it was that game wasn't even live. It was like taped. And then, you know, the replay was at night. So it wasn't even live. So it's like that, just such a different world than obviously 30, 40 years ago, but even 10 years ago. It's just everything's so fast. It just feels like life's going so fast. And I feel like the markets like trade like that. It's like they're like, there's a lot of bears crying and be like, it doesn't make sense. This needs to go down, you know, inflation this and war that. And it's like, yeah, it's like, okay, it's either the world's going to end and then it doesn't matter, or it's, you know, it's going to keep going up because the whole system runs on this thing. So that's kind of a, you know, not the economists of the world would not like that take, but there's a lot of sad bears out there that think we should be much lower. And here we are back at all time highs. So can you make the case that there's historical valuations? You see these people that have been, you know, managing money for 40 years, and they're just like, well, historically, the valuation here is when we sell, and then once the valuations get down here, we buy. Could you make the case that valuations need to be higher because this market has been through so much more, because these top-tier companies are the size of countries? So it's like it's different than when you were evaluating this company back in 1995 or 2002. These are different entities now.
It is so much easier to trade. I mean, for goodness sakes, if I want to buy exposure to oil, I can do it on-chain with Hyperliquid in a matter of seconds. And then we're going to get stocks going 24-7 sooner rather than later. It's just becoming, news is becoming more fluid. Trading's becoming more fluid. It's probably, markets will get hit harder in certain times, but they'll recover even faster as well. So, we're here for it, though. We're showing up no matter what, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, super fun. It's fun to cover. Again, back in the day, you used to buy a stock and they'd give you a piece of paper and you put it in like a security box or something at the bank. And that's, you own that stock. Here's your piece of paper. So we've come a long way. And tokenization, it's more of a when. So the future continues. We'll be here to cover it for you. Brian, thanks so much for joining. We had a super fun episode. Hope everybody enjoyed. Again, throw this a like if you're still with us and in the show. Subscribe if you're not. And enjoy your weekend. We'll be back next week with some more great guests, some more rundowns. So I hope you enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to everybody later. Bye, everybody.